Chapter 5. It had been 3 days and William was getting worried. He watched her sleep in one of his hotel rooms, having moved her from Elian's resistance so that she would be left undisturbed to rest in between the doctor's visits and checkups. He would be present every time the doctor visited and informed of the progress, or lack of in most cases, with Elizabeth's condition. As the hours ticked away, William saw how frail Elizabeth was becoming. She had lost weight, her collarbones and ribs very much on show. Elizabeth woke up feeling slightly better on the fourth day. She looked around the vast bedroom and noted William's absence. With all the force she could muster, she pushed herself up into a seated position in the bed and stretched to take the water beside the bed. Her lips were dry and cracked, and the water hurt her throat as she tried to swallow. She glanced at the headline on the newspaper lying beside her on the cabinet. Lady Kerry Maiden leading the slump protest. The headline of the first page got her attention. Her fatigue made her mind cloudy, but she managed to get the concentration to read some details of the article. The protest happened the day after she was taken ill, and the woman of the shelter marched and protested on her behalf. They used her as the beacon. The protest had gotten the attention of a lady who was the wife of a well-regarded politician in Westminster. This woman quoted Elizabeth's unfortunate fall at the hands of the police as an example of injustice occurring in London. The article highlighted that, so far, 16 people, including 5 children, had been seriously injured by the police, and counting. Elizabeth could not believe she was mentioned in this article. Someone took note of her. This gave her the strength to get out of bed. She waved off the blanket and swung her legs over the edge of the bed. She sighted her clothing bag in the open wardrobe opposite the bed and dragged her legs there. It was a real struggle getting dressed, but she succeeded. Her clothes were so much bigger on her than she remembered. She sighed in relief when she zipped her gown up, taking in deep breaths to subdue the pain and her fast heartbeat. She hurt all over, and sweat poured from her forehead. "And where do you think you're going?" Elizabeth was startled at the voice of William, who was standing by the door.
"I think you know that already."
She nodded down to the newspaper lying on the bed as she tied the lace of her hat under her chin.
"Are you mad? There is a dead-end protest going on out there, and this isn't just about the slump. It is becoming something more complex. You are not in the right state of health to be out there, Elizabeth."
William slowly walked over to her by the wardrobe.
"But..."
She was breathless, trying to complete her sentence.
"But they all started this because of me. I have to be there."
Trying to step towards the door, the walls spun around her, the ringing in her ears piercing in nature, and she slumped to the ground, screaming at the excruciating pain in her bones as she hit the floor. She heard the hasty steps of someone, knowing it was William, rushing towards her on the floor. She could hear the murmured curses from him as he lifted her gently back to the bed. She heard him take a deep breath, and with an irritated tone,
"If you are determined to die, then do it the right way."
There was silence as Elizabeth rested on the bed, her head light on the pillow and dampness to her hair as it stuck to her scalp and neck. She looked over to see William sitting dejected on the chair beside the bed.
"I just needed to speak to the Lady Kerry Maiden. She is the woman who has taken it upon herself to fight for our cause." "What is it to you, Elizabeth? What?" "What isn't it to me? You think I want to be here in the care of a man that I love and can't have?"
She raised a hand when he spoke, noticing the surprise on his face.
"Oh, please let me speak while I have the strength. You think I want to be here? Don't you even state that we can have something together? It can't be more than this. It cannot be more than me sharing my body with you while you go around and get married to a proper lady who is going to be accepted with you in your social construct. I was brought into this world with nothing. I suffered."
She coughed and noticed the blood-stained dots on the pillow.
"I suffered for things that weren't my fault. I turned to do things to survive day to day. What do people like you know? I couldn't take the hunger anymore."
Her voice dropped to a mere whisper as tears formed in the corners of her eyes. she remembered the hardship of the streets.
In the orphanage, I remember always begging to allow us to read, to educate ourselves, to become better versions of us. All I got in return was, Elizabeth Marshall, you are an ungrateful little dirty child.
William just sat there in silence, not even daring to make a sound to disturb her flow of words. She continued.
I used to admire the clothes that the supervisors would wear in the orphanage. I would dream of dressing up in the clothes. One day I walked up to them and smiled and told one of them I liked her gown.
Her eyes were now flooded with tears.
You know what she said? A nobody like you will never wear clothes like this. That was when I knew I couldn't take it. I wanted to be someone who would be respected and be equal in society. The government and society abandoned children like us. So I ran off, took off to the streets in the hope that I could make it, in the hope that I could be normal and equal like them. But I was naive. I didn't know the hardship of the streets.
She looked away from William and out into the distance through the window.
One day, while I was trying to survive, barely just out of being a child, this man saw me and enticed me with food into his store. I can remember vividly as I ate the food with pleasure, happy to eat cheese and bread, filling my mouth so much that food fell all over my lap. I had both of my hands full. Then I understood that nothing is ever what it seems. It was painful. He was painful. I could not walk properly for 3 days and was confined to the same spot on the street under the arches for shelter. When I finally got the strength to move, I tried to get help from the police, but they accused me of making stories up and kicked me back to the streets and warned me against telling such stories, otherwise I would be arrested. So, yes, this is my opportunity to speak. So when you ask what this is to me, this is not to let any other child have that innocence stolen from them. Well, now I might have a voice.
William didn't say anything. All he did was climb on the bed beside her and give her a gentle hug. She turned her head into his neck and sobbed. He couldn't relate to her hardship, but he could imagine what she must have gone through to be in this state. Sighing, he kissed the middle of her head in comfort while he felt the brittle bones of her ribs dig into him. That night, he encouraged her to write a letter to Lady Kerry. In the letter, she told her story of abuse and her observation of the mismanagement of facilities by government officials. He promised Elizabeth that he would get the letter delivered to Lady Kerry. She kissed his shoulders and said,
"You are a kind man, William. The woman who marries you would be lucky," she said sadly.
"And if she is you?"
He felt her smile. She didn't reply, just sighed and rested her head well into his chest.